The Summer of Stein season finale is sponsored by TrueCar. Here's some useful tips that you might not be aware of from TrueCar. A coffee filter and a little bit of olive oil can clean the interior of your car. You could also remove the excess weight from your car to improve its gas mileage. And you could also place your keychain remote right underneath your chin to increase its range. Weird tips, right? Well, here's a tip that's not so weird. TrueCar can help you get a great deal on a used car, too. That's right. TrueCar is not just for buying a new car. With their certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars, you'll enjoy real pricing on actual inventory and a simpler buying experience whether you buy new or used. And with TrueCar, you can see what other people paid, so you'll know if you're getting a good deal before you buy. So you'll be more likely to enjoy a faster buying experience when you connect with a TrueCar certified dealer. So when you're ready to buy that new or used car, check out TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. Yes, that's right. The Summer of Stein is back here. Season finale edition here with Eric Stein Moonves.
Holy moly. My man, what is good? It's been a minute.
It has been a minute since Eric and I have gotten together. It's been 2 weeks since the last episode of the Summer of Stein, but here we are. The 13th week of Big Brother is underway. The finale is coming up on Wednesday. Eric, it's been so long since you and I have gotten to talk about Big Brother that the last time you and I got to speak about Big Brother, the host of Big Brother only had two names. Julie Chen. That was it.
And the lady who smelled like a baby was still in the game.
Yes.
So much has happened.
Yes. It is.
Victor and Nicole were single.
Yes. BB Rexha was not a household name yet, Eric. That's how long it's been.
6.5 million people know her now.
Yes. All right. So here we are. We're live. We're streaming. What could go wrong here? As we're talking about this during the last Friday of the Big Brother season. Chat, let us know if there are any problems along the way. I'm sure there will be many as Eric and I are catching up here as we are, 5 days away from the Big Brother 20 finale. Eric, can you believe it?
I cannot believe it. The season is still crushing it right down to the finish line. All the most dynamic characters are in there. It's just been so... I heard you've been saying the last couple nights how much you really like Level 6 when they all come together for these segments. And mm-hmm. we've been crushing it straight down to the finish line.
Yeah. So we're all crushing it. And
let's go.
Yeah.
Stay crushing it.
Here we are, Eric, and we are really down to just the ride or dies here during the Big Brother season.
Even baby Dino the dog is out of here. He's vacationing in the suburbs right now. Yeah. He said he had enough. Once Sam got evicted, he was done.
That was it. All right,
that curb stomped his heart.
Eric and I are going to cover a lot of ground today, touch on some of the things that we have not gotten to talk about here in these last couple of weeks. Eric, by the way, I thought you were great with Taryn the other night, and I was watching the podcast. I was so upset that you and I didn't get a chance to talk about all of the Big Brother movies that came into play.
Oh, yes. It was really exciting to see the regulators, and Luan in particular featured twice.
Yeah.
Not even once. I must really be persona non grata there. I was expecting the America's Favorite Player movie.
Yeah. Eric, I kind of felt like after seeing all of those movies that maybe this we could be headed for a series finale of Big Brother on Wednesday night. I mean, it's been 20 seasons. Is there a non-zero chance that this is the end of Big Brother coming up?
I would say I hope it is, but no, have my summer back. I think we're stuck with it for a few more years, for sure. It really is. It's way too cheap, and the house exists, and you know they may as well. I do think though, it might be working towards the beginning of the end. You know, you sort of saw the writing on the wall for The Biggest Loser and American Idol. And once the other shoe starts to drop.
Right. Once Ashton Kutcher moves in. Right. Yeah. You feel like that's the end is nigh.
Yes. Once Nick Juhas takes over as the host next season, it's going to be a shortened season, and that should be about it.
Look, well, a shortened season would be fantastic. Eric, I had seen a meme going around today of what are your three wishes for Big Brother 21? Eric, do you have any Big Brother wishes that you'd like to make on the show today?
Well, I think what was missing from this season is definitely not enough Paul. Wish number one, Paul back.
Very Gumpy.
Yes.
How about you?
Well, I feel like that if we're going to be serious, I think they got to shorten the season. I think that the Big Brother season used to be around, you know, around 80 days. Somehow it ballooned out to 100 days. And really, if you lop these last 20 days off of the end, what are you missing here? I mean, the show has really had nothing but filler. The cream rises to the top. Dominant players really start to take over. And I don't think that this season is an isolated instance. I think there are very few seasons where the last 3 weeks end up being interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with you. If anything, I would say you could easily argue that the three best players of the season are the three players that we're left with. I think only Angela would be the only other person that you could even consider. So the final four were the four best players of the season. So theoretically, what would be more exciting than that? Except it's not exciting. I think something I'd like to see, which has never been done, is I'd like to see the front part of the game fast forwarded a little bit. I think it's always weird that once you get to the characters you know and love, that's when you start getting into the doubles and these abridged weeks and the things like that. What if we did a double eviction in week two?
No, that's fine. I'm fine with a double early on, but I think that if anything, that let's keep the same number of house guests, but shorten the days and then have two evictions a week, you know, starting on September 1st, like adopt the Celebrity Big Brother format for the last couple of weeks. So now we get down to September 1st and there's like 10 people and then we have an eviction on, you know, Sunday and Thursday. And so then we're really, you know, that there are less people, but, you know, the pace is increasing. Like, yeah, I mean, we're raising the blinds. House,
after you have really the veto competition, but 100% after the veto ceremony, which is normally, you know, Monday afternoon, the rest of the week is nothing.
There's nothing going on.
Whatever you want. And there's no need for it. You could give them an extra 3 hours to strategize or whatever the case may be. But the game could definitely be fast forwarded. And I think the fact of the matter is they just don't care. They're stretching it out for as much material as they possibly can. I think they know that this is not the most interesting presentation of the show that they could come up with. But I think that's neither here nor there for them.
Yeah, Eric, I've been getting some heat online. People are coming for my wig after I've been so outspoken about how I think that Tangela plus KC are so boring, and people are coming for me, Eric.
I know. I took a lot of heat.
I'm getting a lot of hate
with Taryn as well. Apparently, I know nothing about the show. So
right,
tough. It's tough out there in those Big Brother streets, as Jason Roy would say. It's really tough. You know, yeah, I know.
I thought that was the Virgin King.
Yeah, you're telling it like it is. They are boring. They are. And you know what? I'm going to try and agitate people even more right
okay,
now.
Okay, let's go.
Take a step further.
Let's go.
Tricking Caitlyn into getting Swaggy out was just about the last big strategic move that Tyler made in this entire house.
Interesting.
He has this lore of this great strategic player that we saw if his game through his lens the entire summer. His alliance dominated it primarily through competitions or the stupidity of their own opponents. But tell me, in all of the weeks that we're seeing the rock stars go and the fessies go and so on and so forth, what was he really doing that was strategically so far above and beyond what KC or Angela were doing? They were in a dominant position. He had a great, great social game.
Yeah.
I am not going to take that away. And everybody, that basically was his strategy, that everyone felt comfortable with him, so therefore he wasn't in danger. But his days of controlling the narrative of the votes and this and that, I can't remember the last time he controlled a thing that Brett did or JC did or anything like that.
You know, he had a good week, the week of Bailey's HOH, but really the biggest mitigating factor there was that for some reason, Bailey said, you know what, Tyler, the house gave me a second chance after Swaggy went out. I'm going to give you a second chance, where she should have been gunning for him from the get. Like, that should have been her target. She should have been going after Tyler, guns blazing. I think he went on to win the veto that week, so he would not have gone out that week. I mean, he didn't have to use his power app, but, you know, who knows if he, you know, what the situation would have been had he been not gotten such assurances from her. So I think he had a good week that week. But yeah, you're, you know, not talking crazy talk. I mean,
also, what is this? I had the power app, like it's supposed to be some great right. reveal to everybody. So what? You were popular with the fans on an episode in week two? What is that?
Yeah.
Like, not articulating what he should be saying is, I had the power app and I was so well positioned that I didn't even need to use it. He's not completing the thought. The mm-hmm. fact that he was simply granted it. Well, so did Sam. So did Bailey. Where are they in this game? Who cares? How is that an impressive accomplishment? It's not. So, you know, there's been plenty of people who have been granted things by America that they didn't deserve. So that, yeah. I'm not like, I can't imagine being on the jury and being like, holy cow, he had.
Holy moly.
Holy moly, he had the power app.
Yeah. Eric, what about.
I mean, he never flip flopped. And yeah. that is, I think, all it took here.
Eric, what about in the double eviction? The chat is asking, what about when he was two steps ahead of Brett?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, no, there were six people left in the game. Like, so his choices were play against two people that have shown themselves to be terrible at competitions, or play against Brett, who bare minimum physically looks like he could do well in some sort of speed sort of challenge, and he knows to be studying. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I didn't think that was any sort of substantial thing. You had to vote someone out. It wasn't going to be the two people you're closely aligned with. One could argue he was much more closely aligned with probably JC and Sam also. So I yeah. think he did what was inevitably obvious for him to do in that situation.
Yeah, I do think so. You know, I don't want to totally undercut Tyler. And I think that socially he had, you know, amazing relationships with almost every single person in the house. And he did a great job. I think really for 2 months of the season. But I really, you know, once he got together with Tangela, I really thought that it was going to completely undermine him. And let's see if he ultimately doesn't win. But once that him and Schmoopy got together, I really thought that it was going to end more disastrously.
Yeah, I think for me, and I want to make this point clear so I don't get the haters coming for me. Tyler is clearly one of the best players of this season. He has done extremely well from start to finish, or coast to coast, as it were. And I am not taking that away from him. The fact that he was getting people to do things that were not in their own best interest, and he was extremely well-liked, and he had many, many options. And
yeah.
a really undersold thing that Angela and Casey and Tyler did is that they dragged garbage competitors to the end with them, which is a really undersold thing. They didn't, you know, they didn't bring Fessy to the end with them. They brought people who they theoretically thought they were going to wipe the floor with, even if it didn't turn out that way. He did a very solid job, but he is not head and shoulders the strategist of the year. He is not an all-time great Big Brother player. And I think it could be strongly articulated, honestly, that Casey was the better player. And I think people are going to not
Let's
like
go.
That because they're going to say that she was passive in the game and that she didn't orchestrate anything and she wasn't as tuned into what was going on. But it's all ultimately what came of it and what did you do with it? And, you know, I think we're trending towards a very possible Casey victory. And if she does win, you know, who's there to blame, really?
Yeah, what would you blame it on? Do you say that, you know, do you have to tip your cap and call KC your daddy? Or do you then say that Tyler blew it?
I think it's neither. I think she just played a really good game. She was in the majority. She was with the correct vote every single week of the season. She was extremely well-liked, stayed out of trouble, did not double-cross person after person after person, and won a boatload of challenges. I mean, what more could you set out to do? It's just not flashy. And she didn't need to be flashy. She did what she needed to do to get here, just like Tyler did what he needed to do and so forth. So I think that they both played good games. I know this is going to be all turned around on me now, and I'm a moron, and I don't know what I'm talking about. I've never seen the show before.
Bevo is a moron.
Yeah, exactly. And I am not saying he didn't play well. I'm saying he did not play at a level 100. And
what about level 6?
Yeah, was a 40, right? They were really a lot closer. They just had different styles about it.
Okay. Eric, now we also have JC here in the final three. Are we burying the lead about the possible implications of a JC victory being the story of the season?
I still feel like that's very unlikely to be our final scenario. I would love it. I know that a lot of feedsters would not love it. I think he's been wholly entertaining. As you guys noted, his strategy paid off in spades. Angela looked practically obese at the Final Four competition and had really no shot. She was so lethargic. She could barely even turn the A and B. You know, Tyler put on easily 60 to 70 pounds this summer, and the strategy bared fruit.
Eric, because since I've been in New York, I think I've eaten chicken parmesan at every meal. They call that the Gina Marie diet, and I think I'm easily 10 pounds heavier than I was before I got here, and I am 200% slower. So JC is... he's.
Come on and get nice and fat, my sweeties.
They should have had him come back into the diary room and said that. Ha ha, it worked. Just as I intended.
Yeah.
Do you think that the beef sauce strategy is one that we will see on future seasons?
I hope so. I hope so. We'll see if that comes back.
Maybe there'll be a celebrity chef on Celebrity Big Brother, and that'll be like, hey, it worked for JC, right?
Right. Maybe JC will come back and host food competitions, and you get really fattening JC foods if you lose.
I honestly think, for me, he's been my favorite person to watch play the game. He's been invested and passionate from the beginning. He also had fun with it, and he also, as a willing participant in the diary room's nonsense, I feel like he and Brett really were just so game to do whatever was asked of them. It kind of reminds me of the fun they had with Caleb back on 16. By the end, we're just seeing him do a full-on karate scenes and things of that nature. And I really enjoy what JC brought to the game.
It's almost as if you're saying that JC was production's big dumb puppet this season.
You could say that, right? or little dumb puppet, as it were.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I feel what I liked from Tyler and JC and several others, and Haley for sure, is that you felt how important this actually
was. Not Vegas for sure.
Yeah. I think that at the beginning of the season, right, people probably chalked him up as a stunt casting or a comedy casting.
Yeah.
But he really, really badly wanted to win this game. And at every twist and turn, he was affected by it. So I've enjoyed watching his journey. Obviously, he gave us an extra moment of excitement we didn't expect to have in the last couple of days. And, good for him. Do I see him pulling out this competition? Do I see him pulling out the vote? Probably not, but crazier things have happened, that's for sure.
Yeah. And look, I know that JC has had his issues over the course of the season, and I don't want to get it twisted, because this does tend to happen with Big Brother, but neither of us are saying that JC is some role model that anybody should aspire to be. That being said, that he has brought it on the TV show. He's played pretty hard, and that's all we're asking for here. We are looking for people. I think you and I have a similar thought process on this. It's a TV show. We're looking for people that are going to be entertaining on TV, play hard, and give us something to watch three times a week.
I've long been an advocate also of the early days of reality casting, where they cast real people, warts and all. And again, that's not to defend the actions of these people, or not to say that, anyone should be even like him on a personal level. That's up to each individual person. But he delivered on exactly what you're saying. The promise to entertain and play hard. And then anyone else's personal thoughts or even our thoughts on his conduct, well, it's a reality show. We see a cross-section of real people, and this is a real person, and this was his real behavior. And how that affects or doesn't affect him in the game or outside of the game, that's on him.
Yeah.
How it affected me as a viewer of the TV show, I was entertained by what they chose to show of him on the actual episodes of the show. That, yeah. You know, you can leave it at that.
Yeah. And, you know, to flip the script here, you know, my issues with Tangela has been, you know, they have not been interesting to watch. And I want to take Tyler to task also. Eric, I think that Tyler has been especially bad in the diary room, because I don't think that he is somebody who has really connected with the audience. You know, he'll give his like, oh, I don't know what's going on. This is so hard. I've got my best friend. I got this girl. You know, he did it a little bit in earlier in the season with talking about Caitlin and how she was bad for his game. And he looked at the camera and he did a little bit of the kinds of things that I always feel like that Will Kirby was the best in the world at, and you were really good with this too, of talking to us at home. But now he's just gotten to the point where everything is just like he's a politician. He's not giving us anything.
I think you hit the nail on the head the other evening when you said he played it best when he was the straight man. He was the Jim Halpert,
yes,
to Michael Scott's antics and Dwight's antics. And he was just...
And I hate Jim and Pam, too. There, I said it. I hate Jim and Pam. They are fine
really
separate. Jim and Pam are fine separate, but they are the Tangela of The Office. They're so boring with their perfect relationship. They have had one fight in 9 years of The Office.
And who's Sam? Phyllis? and Caitlin is Kelly.
All right, should we do it? Should we cast the whole the office with Big Brother 20?
Wait, who's Creed?
Summer of Steve, 2018.
2018.
No, in reality, you know, Sam is Creed. Sam is Creed.
And yeah, we got to get a role for the great Winston Hines. He loves pop culture. Perfect for him. But I am with you. I don't think that's actually one of the things for me that holds this back when all is said and done from probably landing at a top three season. The second half was not as exciting as the first half, but also Tyler is really not someone who can carry the entire show. That's the problem, is that Paul actually could carry the show, even though everyone completely turned on him last year. But Paul was a welcomed narrator.
Okay, well, hold on. The chat is going nuts now. Lance Davis says, Scotty is Dwight. I think we nailed that one. Steve is Kevin.
I feel like he had the sunglasses in that party meme. So it's like they're drumming and stuff like that. That's perfect.
Winston is Andy. Buying or selling that?
Yeah, that's how it came to mind. Although I could actually see Brett's got to be what, Packer? Is that's the friend who comes in sometimes, and like I feel like you know, he was like the sort of frat boy, like business compatriot maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. All I right. think is Angela?
She might be. But I guess she's Pam in this scenario.
I suppose.
Right. And again, Jim and Pam separately were fine. It was just their relationship is super boring. Okay, don't come for me, Office stands, either. I got enough going on right now. People are like, boy, Rob, you're really PMSing lately. But coming for me on Twitter. Anyway, so Eric, we early on in this season of The Summer of Stein, you and I did a draft unlike the LFC draft, where we tried to come up with who the winner of the season was going to be. You and I drafted for who would be the person left out of the final two, who would be dragged to the end to end up coming in third place. Do you remember this, Eric?
I remember this in concept, but I can tell you with certainty, I do not remember what we said. I normally am in somewhat of a fugue state when we podcast, have no real sense of what happened. It's like a blackout and then we're just done. So if I had to put myself into my own headspace, I am guessing that I probably would have been looking at Rockstar or Sam as people to potentially drag. I'm guessing I probably did not choose JC, Casey, or Tyler, because in all fairness, we do not know who is in third place yet.
Yes.
But let's see where it landed.
Okay, so let's go back to the first episode of Summer of Stein. You and I easily were 5 years younger each on July 2nd of 2018. And with the first pick overall, you thought that depressed robot Sam was going to be taken to the end. You were close. You're not off.
Yeah, I think I mean, that was right in concept. That's for sure.
Yes.
And if she probably had maintained her sanity just a little bit better, her composure, I think she could have actually filled this role, because she did do what we actually imagined her doing, which was basically be blindly loyal to the person who, for the most part, was controlling the game, which is a great spot to be in. Just ask Victoria. So she easily could have landed herself in this spot. So that was a close but no cigar.
All right. With my first pick, I ended up going with, I called her Angela Rockstar. And so I thought she would be good to be dragged to the end. That was not the case. But then it was a snake draft, Eric. And let me go back, and I want to play you the clip of this.
I don't like where this is going.
This was my second pick here in the draft from July 2nd, the third place draft.
I will go with how about KC?
Oof.
Solid number.
That's an almost definite. If I had to literally bet my internal organs on a jury member,
yeah,
Casey is in the mix.
Okay.
What's the likelihood she ruffles any feathers or is on anyone's radar? Yeah, yeah, yeah. But
are we talking about Grandpa Lou?
Yeah, so we really had that nailed dead to rights. We knew,
yeah,
Casey,
really that one, yeah.
She is who we thought she was.
I think they all were, right? Did anybody, like, really? I guess you could argue JC and Brett are probably the ones who surprised the most from what you thought they might be. But otherwise, Tyler and Casey and Angela and Sam, they played their roles very dutifully.
Mm-hmm. So then it came back around to you. You went
with... might still be right. You may have nailed that.
Okay. Came back around to you. You went with...
Summer Steve 2018.
Okay. Unfortunately, that was not the case for the third place. Then you ended up going with Scotty, setting me up for my third and final pick of the third place draft, Eric. Here we go.
Scotty.
Okay. I'm so excited that my pick fell to me. Eric, I am going to go with none other than the jumping bean himself. Give me JC in the final three. Yeah.
I feel like in modern Big Brother, that's a risk right here. I feel like JC channels many of Josh's best qualities.
You would think we're looking at the winner.
Yes, I think Josh had a very nimble move in his opening credits, just like this. And I agree, his channeling is fiery Miami side. And I just think if you run the risk of dragging JC to the final three, it's at your own peril at this point.
Wow, an ominous premonition from Eric Stein on July 2nd.
Wow, I feel shocked by how in tune we were to the events of the season, honestly. I mean, admittedly, Summer of Steve did not come in third, but would have been nice. But I don't know what I should be rooting for anymore. Should I be hoping that that Tyler comes in third, so that way no one wins the draft? Is that a possibility?
Boy, yeah, Tyler coming in third, that would really screw things up, because I wouldn't win the LFC draft or the third place draft.
Well, you know, you would presume Casey is not going to make that move. Tyler himself is not going to make the move of leaving himself out. So that leaves JC as our only option to cut Tyler. And not only is he unlikely to make the move, but I'm not actually sure that that's his best move. I think he might have a better chance of beating Tyler than beating Casey at this point. I don't know. It's close.
Yeah, I think that JC's best chance probably is to beat Tyler. I think that that KC probably was more inoffensive, where
Tyler gets the, he loses the bitter jury votes. JC is sort of getting the votes against Tyler, where I don't know if he necessarily wins over those votes against KC.
Yeah, I wonder. I'd love to see JC weaving a yarn about all of the times he controlled people in the house in a final speech and final answers. It would be a nice
admission. Yeah, I mean, his speech would be among the more delusional final two speeches in the history of reality TV.
How do you handicap the odds of us getting a big dumb puppet montage sometime during the finale?
Oh, boy, especially if he's going to get to the final two, maybe they might have that ready to go. But, you know, I don't think that the Big Brother US does as much finale montages as the Big Brother Canada does.
Yeah, that's true. They used to do them sometimes for the rap party as well, but then they so cheap that they don't throw those anymore.
Yeah. All right.
They're like, bye, guys. Just moving along.
Eric, let's get to some tweets that you and I got this week. Let's start with this one. This is one from Amy Van Dyke, who wanted us to take a look at this. The following from Sam's exit interview. She was asked, and I'm not sure which exit interview this is from. Maybe Mike Bloom over at parade.com, but we'll try to get that corrected. If it's not, chat room, let me know. Why do you think Tyler didn't do more to follow through on your final two deal? Sam said,
because Angela has abs and they're both really tan.
That was it.
The shade. Yeah, it wasn't his other 10 final two deals. That wasn't the problem. It's interesting. And you've pointed to this numerous times. Angela was his downfall. If he loses this these votes, it's because of Angela, because JC was jealous. Sam was jealous. Brett was feeling left out in the cold. He was doing a better job of juggling multiple agendas and the neediness of his alliance members earlier in the season. And once he sort of honed in on the abbed and tanned Angela, who smells like a baby, that was it. He really lost. He may have lost. I mean, I thought it was a certainty that we were going to see Sam vote for Tyler if he was in the end. But last night, really, and these interview questions really cast doubt on where her vote lies. Also, this has absolutely nothing to do with anything, but I was just making grand hand gestures while speaking. Why does Tyler think when you profess your love to someone, you should in the thing say like, I really love you and blah, blah, blah. And he kept doing these like karate chop gestures. Like I guess he was trying to do his like high energy, like, I'm sad because I have a secret and now
and
I love you. But
I have to tell you something. And secret number one is I have to do this. Like Tyler and KC, they both have the same exact sing-song mannerism when they talk. KC is the same thing. Like, my friends, I've got to tell you something. And it's that let's go. Tyler and I, we had a deal. And we were a final two. It's the same thing, both of them.
I also don't necessarily understand the impact of these reveals because they're both still there. If one of them was there, that would have like a more of a thing to me. But like, I would just feel like, okay, good for you guys. That worked out well. But like, how is that helping me decipher who should get my vote? Or yeah, feel better about the fact that I was eliminated? I'm not really sure what they're hoping the takeaway is for the jury members. Like, all right, guys, that was a good deal.
I don't think they really thought it through.
I don't think they care. Yeah, they're just bragging.
Yeah.
There's no actual like constructive point that they're making.
Yeah. All right, Eric, let's get back to some more tweets from the audience. Here's one from Sammy Lambert. Who are the best smelling Big Brother and Survivor alumni, Eric? Have you given some thought? Angela has a superpower that she revealed last Sunday night, that she has this amazing sense of smell. She can have a sense of smell better than anybody else in the history of Big Brother. She tells us that JC is very sweaty. Sam, I think, smells like an old person. I think she said that Haley, that she smells like her, her hair care products. Tyler just smells good. Doesn't really have a smell. Eric, what do some of the past, reality TV alumni smell like?
All right. Well, I had not given any prior thought to this, but I'm just going to give you my honest instinct, right? I read the question and who immediately there's probably close to 1,000 people have been on Survivor and Big Brother. The person who immediately came to mind who probably smells delightful, Joe Anglim.
Yes.
I know why. What do you think? How do you give that on the food the oof meter? What is the likelihood that Joe is a nice smelling man?
I mean, it's probably not offensive, but I don't think of him as somebody who takes a lot of showers. I think of him as somebody who tends to be outside a lot. And like
he has more of a woodsy, he smells like maybe like a,
yeah, I doubt
a
he
cabin or something.
I doubt he smells gross, but I think he probably smells a little granola, which would not necessarily be my ideal scent. If I was going
something
to
like he smells like a pair of thermal long johns after a long snow weekend in elementary school.
Yeah.
In the wood. Yeah. All right. So that's. All right, so then you can probably...
At best, I would say, incense.
All right, so
and patchouli.
Maybe we should go back and forth then. All right, do you have someone better than Joe? Let's shoot for the stars here.
Are we trying to come up with who smells the best?
The best and or has a signature scent, you know, that we could package.
Right.
I mean, like, some are too obvious, you know. All right, we know, for example, it was actually well covered on BB17 that Austin just smells.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I guess the question is that if we were blindfolded, who would have a distinct smell?
Yeah, well, one that comes to mind when you said that is Sue Hawk.
Sue Hawk would have a distinct smell.
Yeah.
Years
on the road is how I would describe it.
You know, I actually have an incredibly poor sense of smell, Eric. I don't know about you, but I would say I'm almost hard of smelling. And I have to say, it's never held me back. I've never been in any way experienced any sort of, you know, a disadvantage in life.
That's something you should get help for?
No, I'm saying that I would rather have a no sense of smell than a great sense of smell. I mean,
I have a deeply deviated septum that I've never addressed. So I tend to agree.
Have you ever said like, oh boy, I feel like I'm really missing out on not being able to smell better. Like have
no,
a better sense of smell. I should say not smell better.
I suppose not. I'm trying to think of who, like, I mean, you know, when you think of smelling well, you just really just like think of people who are probably just like attractive. That's what I'm associating with smelling well. Like, it's very rare. Like, I'm not going to just like randomly think to myself that just oh boy, yeah, I bet Andy smells great, you know. Like, it's just that, that's no insult to Andy. I'm just saying, it's just why would you think he has any scent in particular? Mm-hmm. Like, when you're thinking about who smells well, it's like, you know, that's why someone like a Joe comes to mind.
What about Chef Joe?
He probably smells like beef sauce. Most likely. He does probably not great. I don't know. Tough
okay.
times. We're going to have to put Angela on it. I think this is actually probably well worth. She probably doesn't know any other previous survivors or Big Brother contestants, but maybe we could just show her pictures of people and we could just have her like run down a list.
Of what she thinks they would smell like or what they would smell like.
What they what she'll smell the picture and tell us.
Eric, you know, one of the things that we touched on briefly about that we missed out on talking about was Victor and Nicole's engagement at the Big Brother house. Were you disappointed that Big Brother did not ask you to be at the engagement party for Victor and Nicole?
I'm so insulted. You know, I was there the night of their first kiss.
Oh,
in New York. That they referenced, and I definitely gave him some sort of a bro handshake or bro hug that night. We had at least a 15 or 20 second conversation. And what I'm wondering is, if I didn't make it to the engagement invite list, does this also mean that our final two deal is not real? Is he not going to hold this, the one that we brokered during those 15 seconds of bro hugging. I got your back if I ever see you again. Here's a sip of my beer, buddy boy.
You had that, you drank from the same beer as Victor?
No, nah, I did not.
Oh, okay.
So I was just...
Oh,
I was,
you're joking. Yeah. What did Victor smell like, Eric?
He smelled like the blossoming young love.
Blossoming.
They were coming together mere hours from then.
Yeah. Now, Eric, based on the people that were invited to go to Victor and Nicole's engagement, I think based on that one interaction, I feel like that you probably seem like you are closer with Victor and Nicole than half the people that were there.
Want to know something fantastic about this?
Yeah, what?
They told the guests that they were all coming to host a luxury competition. They told them all the same thing that they told Nicole, did not tell them the actual reason. And several of the guests of record were annoyed when they found out that they actually came for this purpose and that it wasn't that the show actually wanted to feature them or have them in as a host. They all came in all feeling good about themselves and they're going to be featured in these segments. And then they had the Big Brother rug pulled out from under them and it was just not about them.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag shocker.
Shocker. Yeah. Man. So,
what about the fact that Nicole realistically did not recognize him when he came out? I feel really confident about this, that she honestly, and I'm not trying to be funny, I'm being dead serious, did not know who he was for a good 3 seconds. And then she seemed really upset about this haircut. She was like, she could not, you know, he actually proposed, right. Got the words out, and before saying yes said, boy, you look different.
Yeah, I mean,
like, she's calculating in her head, can you grow the hair back out by the time of the actual wedding? How long until the beard comes back? She was not thrilled.
Right, because Victor kind of has a look, and you would imagine that maybe she likes that look. Call me crazy.
I feel like he actually looked about 30 years older. After this happened.
Yeah.
It was a very surprising situation.
Yeah. The whole thing was very confusing, I think, for a majority of the viewers who were not necessarily keeping up with Victor and Nicole, because Nicole has had two separate showmances in said Big Brother house in respective seasons of the show. And then comes back with, like, Big Brother has never introduced us, like, hey, by the way, here's Victor and Nicole. They're dating now. Well, they're not just dating. They're also engaged and on the show.
Yeah, they skipped a few beats of the story, right?
Yeah. I mean, it would be, it's odd. It's just a weird narrative here for the Big Brother audience. Like, when Jeff Schroeder comes back, it would be weird if he was like the Zingbot and we, you know, got the update. Okay, he's divorced and now he's dating a different Big Brother contestant and now here she is.
And they also had to give the Paulie treatment to Corey. I mean, Corey was the fourth place finisher of the season. He was probably in, they must have really had to look deep to find the scenes that did not involve him, but showed their blossoming love. Yeah, they really did not put the pieces together well. It was confusing, to say the least.
Yeah. All right, Eric, let's get back to some more questions from the audience. Okay, here is another tweet. This one is from Kelly Lynch. How long do you think that Tyler and Angela's relationship will last? And actually, let me see if I have we have a better version of this question. And it is on a scale of Shelley and Clay to Jeff and Jordan, how long do you think that Tangela will make it outside of the house? This is from Patrick Smith.
All right, let's think about this. The one thing I think that they actually do have going in their favor is that this was a sort of late arriving situation. So I don't think they actually hit their like big peak crescendo moment yet. I think that they are actually still on a bit of an upward trajectory and they still, you know, have some relationship milestones to enjoy.
Yes.
Which I think will tide them over for a while. And they're going to be in this past world. They're going to be doing, appearances and visiting each other. I do think that this is going to have some
legs.
Chops. And I could actually see the relationship truly lasting. However, I thought about this last night And I can't help but get the image out of my head of Tyler in the fetal position crying after Angela just smashes his heart to pieces. And I kept coming back to that, is that I don't think this is going to be that Tyler is going to play the field.
Interesting.
And make rounds in the Big Brother community. I don't think it's going to be that he's let down. I think that is going to be a ruthless Angela is going to put this whimpering little man in his place and just step on his throat at some point in this relationship.
Yeah.
She's going to have tolerance for his emotions, I don't think.
Yeah, okay. The chat room, I just love to know, has there been talk of where are they going to live? Is Tyler returning to Hilton Head to keep up this relationship? Is she coming?
The chat would know better than we do, but do they actually live in Hilton Head currently, or is that just like one of these billed as being from there?
I feel like that she does, but maybe if she's booking those Halloween modeling photo shoots.
Does a loofah go to live? Like, where does a loofah rest their head? In the shower? Is that just
all right? Well,
how are you handicapping this? I mean, I'm gonna go with, actually, I don't think it's great. I think I will go with if I was setting an over under, November 15th,
I'll take the over on that. That they're saying that they're going to, she lives in LA, he's moving to LA, so we'll see. I see that there are some people in the chat room that are getting salty that we're even talking about this. Oh, why it's their relationship, why are they even talking about that? I thought it was on a TV show.
Right, that's the purpose of this nonsense.
Hey,
to talk about that. We didn't talk about what we saw on the show.
It's Tyler's game. Why are we talking about it?
Right. We were not contractually obligated to only analyze the people we're seeing from a game standpoint.
Karen says this is the most interesting part.
Right. This is one of the show. I'm reacting to it. They are characters on a TV show. We are not wishing ill upon them. We are not saying they can't live their best lives together. We are merely speculating on what's going to happen with years of solid statistical information.
And if anybody should be allowed to talk about this, it's Eric Stein, because he had to read on message boards when his showmance was going to break up.
That's exactly right. And don't forget that when the fan base starts to like send direct messages to them and like, I saw Angela at a bar with Winston Tyler, so watch out for that. I think they're more than friends. I saw them laughing.
Okay. All right. Let's keep going with these more questions. And Eric and I would love to be invited to the celebration of Tyler and Angela's when they get engaged. We would love to be there.
Yeah, I want to know that a bro hug means something still in today's Big Brother worlds. When I've, you know, undoubtedly see Tyler for 5 minutes once, I want that connection to carry over into a guest appearance.
Okay. Adam Rod wants to know, would JC throw the final HOH if Tyler promised him a lock of his hair?
Just going back to this for 1 second, safe to assume that Josh has never met Victor before, right? Or Nicole. Like, he clearly does not know them, right?
Josh was just so excited to go to any wedding. He's like, are you kidding me? We're going to a wedding. I'm going to be there. I'm going to get a present. Wow.
Noticed ever since he was in the house, all he's been doing is tweeting about how much he likes Haley and supporting her for America's Favorite Player. She must have really bewitched him while he in the house. I think JC would probably throw it for a lock of his hair, for sure.
Yeah, it's a lock.
Seems like a fair trade-off.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. All right. Then I have my BB22 alliance said, did you see how slow, sluggish, and bloated Tyler and KC looked at the final four HOH? My sweeties got nice and fat.
I made like a pasta with hot dogs, ground beef, and everything I found around the house. It's like a beef sauce.
As an aside, the veto competition was just awful.
Yeah.
Oh, God, what a bore. You couldn't even compare how they were doing next to each other. It really was not any particular skill. And also, like, I would hope that they could remember to these answers to the questions. Like, if I ask you a question about something you did when you went to, say, Legoland 2 weeks ago, couldn't you answer that question? They were living their lives there. Like, this is not, like, hard to keep track of. It's not, hey, did this happen on day 72 or some puzzle where there's only one right answer where, like, you know, who was on slot 3 times and competed in 7 vetoes? Like, those require some brain power. It does not require brain power to say, which competitions did a woman win? Mm-hmm. No shit. They were literally there for it to happen. That's not, right. Does not require any sort of knowledge. It just like becomes a carnival game then, yeah. Which is fine, but right. Not for the final four veto with the entire game on the line.
And not to nitpick the actual competition too much, but I feel like that, because this is a competition that was famously introduced in Big Brother 16 when Frankie Grande did not have the help of Beast Mode Cowboy when he had to do that. Yeah, Beast Mode Cowboy sat down. Survivor uses this a lot. It's like it can be very dramatic when the ball goes up and the ball falls down. But this competition seemed to lack that element of the ball falling out. It was just like this was just like some mechanism to move the ball around. There was really very little intrigue as to whether or not the ball was going to go in the right place.
Right, and they weren't even showing like a real side by side comparison. So the edit was like. Yeah, no, it was just real.
Like, it can be a tense moment on Survivor where it's like, just get in, and then the ball falls down, and it's like, oh, we got to go back to the beginning. This was like, I don't even know why we had this. I mean, they might
also
as well.
Basically every round had a very similar like order of finish. So then, like, then it was even more dull because then it was just like working your way through the strikes one by one, and it's not like someone suddenly 8 rounds into it is going to get good at this game and like all of a sudden they're gonna start I lost the first 6 but now I've got it. It's like mm-hmm. It's not gonna happen. So once you saw who was good at it, they yeah. were good at it. And I will say this, and I know I already supported her earlier on in the podcast, but when we were on 2 weeks ago, I said that I really saw no fathomable reason why Casey was cast on the show. And since she has won about 16 more competitions since then, I am going to rescind that remark and say that I actually think she was a solid cast member.
Let's
not
go.
The world's most dynamic, but
wow.
Not that bad. And
I like, you're I like coming out as like
the game differently.
The number one Casey supporter in the Big Brother alumni community.
I've come around to it, and I really was not on this. I thought she was nothing burger, but she is she's won me over. I think she's earned her keep. And I, like I was saying, I like seeing people approach the games with the skills that got them there. So she was nice, loyal, and great at the competitions. JC was manipulative. Tyler was social. Brett was smarmy. I like people bringing different skill sets into the game and then seeing how they collide with each other.
She was fine. She was fine, but just being, she already was not, Miss Personality, and then being in the sidecar with Tangela was not good. There was a negative halo effect.
I reached out to CBS to see if we could get them to have a docuseries where the three of them continue living together on the Rob Has a Podcast network of programming on your behalf. Because I knew how much, I know that you were mm-hmm. too shy to, extend this line of thinking yourself. And I know that you're really just lashing out because you're afraid that they're not going to want to do with you afterwards. Yeah. So I was sure the brokered this for you. So that way you can see hours and hours more of them on your screen and in fact, cultivate, even edit it yourself as well.
Come and knock on their door.
Oh, yeah.
They've got nothing to do.
In all fairness, yeah. Tyler does have a little bit of Jack Tripper about him.
Yes, yes.
You can see him falling over the futon.
Okay, all right, so it's Three's Company with Tangela and Casey. JC is Mr. Furley, who it's almost like a reverse Mr. Furley, where on Three's Company that Jack had to pretend he was gay. This is sort of like, is this the opposite or is it the same thing? So Tyler isn't right. pretending he's gay, but he has to pretend that he's not in a showmance. Jack Tripper wasn't hooking up with any of the of his roommates on Three's Company. But sometimes, like him and Larry would, bring
and
women
Brett
back.
Is Larry
and Brett is Larry, and Mr. Furley would be like, "Hey, what's going on up there?" And like, "Oh, nothing. Not dating any women." Like, "Oh, that's good because not
and,
on my watch."
And then Fessy and Haley are Mr. and Mrs. Roper.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's keep going here.
We probably just should have recast a different sitcom that nobody has watched in 30 years each episode of this instead.
Yeah. All right. Let's keep going.
Yes.
All right.
It's always the fall. You know?
All right. Eric, this is a question from the What the Bleep competition. Did this competition score foreshadow the future of the season? KC 1, Tyler 2, JC 3.
Yeah. I think it did. How about, what do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I could see it. I could see it.
I think it's believable. I mean, listen, I do not like when outside factors are considered in the decision making on who the crown winners of reality shows, such as whether or not the person has money or things of that nature. That always bothers me. I will say, though, that Big Brother in particular has had incredibly few minority representatives win the game. And I think it really isn't underdeveloped. And I know inside of the house, it's something that they've used for this or whatever. I think it's great that we're representing, minorities across the final three. I think that's really exciting. And for me, that would make it an extra layer on the beef sauce if we could see KC and JC as the final two. I see no scenario, no world in which that happens. That would be cool for me. Tyler is probably locked into one or two. So, it's just how the vote shakes down ultimately. It's going to be incumbent upon Tyler to articulate his game. But as has been well documented, he has about 15 minutes to do so with, the questions are kind of like generic. So he better have some really great talking points ready to go, because I do think it'll be a close vote either way. And, if he could even tip one person in the moment, that might be the difference in whether or not he wins or loses.
Eric, should Tyler go by his initials for the final few days of the game so that we can have JC, KC, and TC?
I love it. That's the makings of them going on tour as a boy / girl band afterwards. Yeah.
Bring back Swaggy C also. Then Kelly Lynch says, is Adam Pock throwing another BB alumni bash for the finale?
I don't know.
You don't know. You haven't heard anything. If that's the case.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Jillian wants to know, any ideas for finale night drinking games? Like take a sip every time KC says,
let's go.
That'd probably get the job done. What about other rules based on other house guests? I mean, if you took a drink every time KC said, let's go, I'm pretty sure that you would be drunk by the end of Survivor.
Do not put your name on that, Rob. That's your liability insurance cannot cover what would come from that.
Drink
that
every time Tyler says, let's go.
Yeah. How about drink the number whenever Julie calls herself Chen Moon?
That was going to say. Drink every time JC laughs maniacally.
How about, what's the over-under? I know you played this game with Mike Bloom for Survivor. Which pre-jurors are going to get to speak on finale night?
Okay. Let's go through it real quick. Summer Steve, with all due respect, probably not. I have a feeling they're going to talk to Swaggy C.
I agree.
I feel like they might want to get his reaction to things.
I was thinking about this, right? And I'm think it's very lovely that he's been bonding with her family so much, right? What if she comes out of the jury house after being there for 7 weeks or whatever the case may be, and she isn't feeling as strongly as she once was? I mean, they have not seen each other in a handful of months. Might that be awkward if he's real deep, real close with her parents and sister, and she's like, guys.
She might be a little creeped out. That is possible.
Yeah, I'm just saying that it's really, I mean, I'm hoping, I'm fingers crossed. I know I shouldn't be talking about this. It's not my life.
It's not your relationship.
So, that's right. But I'm just going to say, I hope her momentum is as much as the outside.
I think
it'll
be fine. I think it'll be fine for a while.
Yeah, all
over
right.
There.
So they're going to speak to him for sure then, because they will check in on the relationship. So then who does that take us to next?
Winston.
Hell no.
No chance.
Well, I don't know. Like if Brett had survived,
if Brett was in the final three, we'd talk to Winston, and then Caitlin, most definitely.
Namaste.
Namaste.
For sure.
Right. And then Rachel.
Forget it.
Unless
it would be funny if they asked her, have you diagnosed what's wrong with Angela? But again, since Angela didn't make it, I think Rachel's best chance at a question would have been, you know, if Angela was in the final three.
Yeah. All right. Any other ideas for the drinking game? Any shots of anybody in the audience that you want to drink?
Right. How about, oh, that's nice. How about this? One drink for every button of his shirt Tyler has undone.
Yeah.
That's good to get you nice and loose once you see that opening shot of them on the couch. Yeah. That's a two or three or right there.
Do you think that Big Brother production will allow Scotty to speak at the finale?
No.
I was surprised they let him speak at the jury house.
I don't think it's that he's actually banned from speaking because of the events of his eviction. I just think that they feel like they have nothing in Scotty anymore. I feel like the fear he still didn't even know in the jury house. Everyone's compared notes. Everyone else knows now, and Scotty still doesn't know.
Yeah. Eric, what do you think about Omarosa being a guest on Off the Block today?
Surprised. Surprised.
Yeah.
She's a part of the family now.
Yeah.
She could easily be there the next time that Adam Pock does throw one of his bashes.
Yeah. Who knows what expect the unexpected with Omarosa.
Wasn't she at the engagement?
I didn't think Omarosa should have come in. All right.
What is good, Victor?
Is she on for cameo? All right, Eric, and then this, I've been looking forward to this. Melinda says, please rate the BB comics from 1 to 5 oofs. Eric, I've gathered together a collection of some of the BB comics, another thing I didn't get to talk about, and I would love to, if we could, just go through with you some of the highlights from this season, if you could give us 1 to 5 oofs.
I'm ready.
Okay, let's start out with this one. Here is the Brett comic, The Beefcake. Prepare to meet your caker.
This is 4 oofs. Really corny. Has quite literally nothing to do with him.
When did he have a cake?
Yeah, it makes bordering on no sense. The pun is bad. I don't really recall him even driving the narrative or calling himself the Beefcake all that often.
Right.
This is a stretch. This could have been anyone on any season. And I think he has things that, you know, you could have actually done with him. So this poorly executed.
Yeah. I mean, do we want to put ourselves out there of what the Brett comic should have been?
Also, who is this man that he's soiling with cake?
Tony Vlachos, I think.
Yeah, seriously.
I mean, that should Brett's comic book have been the analyzer?
Yes, he throws a handful of analyzer at his foes.
It should have been like the analyst, and then we could have done something with that. I think they could have been more creative.
Like the douchebag. And he's like, you know, cleansing the opposition.
Anything would have been better than this here. A 4 oofer for Brett. Okay, how about this one? Here is Casey.
Let's go.
The health nut. She's nuts.
Wait, is
about
that Tony again at the bottom?
Yes. Tony is
what did he ever do to these
getting
guys?
His ass beat. All right, here's Peanut here with her shield. She wore a Peanut costume at one point. She's nuts about fighting crime.
This looks virtually nothing like her, which is my biggest objection.
Yes.
Who is that? Like, let's just say I took you, just forget it. If she wasn't holding a peanut and that was the name on top and I presented this to you, would you have known who this was?
Probably not. I don't think so.
Yeah. I would call this low hanging nuts as for what they went for here. Like nuts on a warm summer Stein day.
I mean, going back and looking at the BB comics, when they have to defer to your costume at some point, then you did not make your mark on the season.
Yeah, I mean, what else would it have been, though, right? Right, she could have been
Let's
otherwise
go.
her first costume, right, or the Let's Goer, which is, you know, not really. Maybe she, escorts the bad guys away. Let's go, bad guys.
Yeah. I feel like that we could have done something better here.
This is not a good comic, but it's not high on the oof factor because it's just like it's just there. It's a very generic. It's like a 2.5 oof.
2.5. All right. Here we go. There's Rachel. It took me a minute to figure out who this was. It's the Dancasaur. Welcome to Jurassic Twerk. It's Rachel appears to be a dinosaur rampaging through a city.
Even from what I just don't even see where they got this from. I mean, I was trying to like, I know she's like a Vegas performer. I'm not even sure
that she's a dancer.
Goes even into that. I believe her to be more of a singer from what I'm familiar with. She certainly has nothing to do with a dinosaur. I mean, did she make such little mark that they literally fabricated something from thin air? For her? Like, I don't know. What's your take on this?
I feel like that if we're going to just come up with nothing, I feel like that maybe her most iconic thing was probably What's Wrong with Angela. But then number two was Zero Stars. I think if anything, get Big Dick Johnson on there with her for Zero Star Lady.
Yeah, this is not great. And also facially, don't know who that is.
If you showed me this picture outside of the context of this is a BB comic, you could give me the 5 years. I would never come up with this is Rachel Swindler.
If I gave this to you in the context of this is a BB comic, I think I still would have been a struggle. Maybe it could be a young Caitlin Barnaby, possibly. I have no idea who this is.
It literally took me 2 minutes to figure out what this was when I was going through the picture.
Is she a paleontologist?
No, no.
If we do a Friends reboot, is she playing Ross?
She could be Ross. That's fine. Okay. So how many oofs was this?
Actually, though, I'm going to give it only one oof because I enjoy how idiotic this is.
Z-Man in the chat thinks that it's about her being old.
Yeah, I don't even understand
what
that.
What is she, 29?
Is she 29? Yeah.
Hey, in Big Brother years, though. Yeah. Come on.
You shouldn't be talking about other people's age. You just analyze the show.
All right. All right. Here we go, Eric. This one is Snotty. And here is Scotty blowing snot on a guy in an orange hoodie, fighting crime with slime. Here's Snotty.
All right. So where do we fall on this? Is it just that they were incredibly lazy and changed one letter? Is it that he wronged production, so they tried to make him look bad? Or
gross.
Are they suggesting that nerds often have nasal problems and, you know, a lot of allergies and stuff?
Hey, I think it's all the above.
Yeah, I'd say it's pretty on the nose then.
Yeah,
dude. I mean, right. They could have changed him into Spotty instead, and he could have been a dog.
Yeah,
they could have. You know, they did not spend a lot of time conceiving one. I'll tell you that much.
Eric, is it time to retire the BB comics?
I feel like, yeah. I think I would have probably done something with his armbands. You know, he's not even wearing his signature in this.
Something about him being a virgin. I feel like that somebody got potty mouth. Was it Paul in one of his seasons got the potty mouth? So I feel like that there are things you could have done there with Scotty, but
yeah,
Snotty,
this is bad too. Yeah. You know what? This is actually just depressing me now. These are not very good.
Just because it rhymes doesn't mean it's a thing. We're really, you know, big into like, hey, it rhymes.
Four oofs.
Yeah, four oofs. This, I think, should be one of the things in like the 72-day Big Brother season. I think BB Comics, we can do, you know, maybe once every couple of seasons. I think they really peaked when they did the what was like the movie they did where they brought everybody back?
Oh,
and then
the Revengers.
I think we sort of could have gone out on a high note with the BB Comics.
I think that the movie posters were so much better because they were actually creative. They were fun. The quotes were fun.
Yeah. No, that was great.
The titles were fun. So they actually, you know, that had some originality to it. These really seemed like retreads. I agree.
Okay. All right. And then here's Swaggy C. It's Swaggy C. And he appears to be what's this called? When you are, he's on a like a manta ray, and
he's supposed to represent the first like challenge, the one that he was doing with Angela. Is that
Yeah, I guess so, right? But that was like, but he was surfing the web. And this is that he is on some sort of a water ski. And
so basically, right. So we went from surfing the web to surfing a manatee. We went from the letter C to the word C.
And so that he says justice and T-shirts for all. And he's throwing like an octopus at people.
Yeah. Wouldn't it make more sense if he was throwing a T-shirt to distract his foe, to go along with the catchphrase there? Does he have a T-shirt with an octopus on it?
I don't know. He was babysitting those kids in the pool in the first episode. So is he, can he do anything with the water? Is he aquatic?
I'm going to say the shout out to the T-shirts, the dynamic action that we're seeing. I know that a lot of people did not like this one, primarily because it's pure gibberish and has nothing to do with anything that happened in the house. I'm going to give this one 3 foo, actually.
3 foo. Why?
I would buy this. Okay. I would read this comic.
You want to follow the plot to see what's going on?
Yeah. I mean, you know, from what I know of this summer, I just think that if I were to call upon a Big Brother house guest and I wanted them to save me, I might tweet at Swaggy C possibly and have him, you know, come in and save the Amazonian who's had one too many concussions. We need a little bit of Swaggy C swag back in this house, you know? So I think if I needed one man to help me, he'd be the man. So.
Okay. How many oofs?
I don't know. I'm going 3 foo still. I'm
3 foo. Okay.
No oofs.
All right. And then here we go. A man who will not speak at the finale, Twinston. He has a clone to pick with crime. He has a clone to pick with crime. Oh, like bone? That's the rhyme here. I'm like, this makes no sense. Am I reading this wrong? He has a clone to pick with crime.
How long would you say the brainstorming session went before they just said, let's just put a T in front of
it? 19 seconds.
Yeah. They're like, what do we know about Winston? He likes Brett. Anything else?
No.
He's neurotic. Anything else? Nope.
Nope.
Twinston in it.
Twinston.
Horrific. I mean, I'm being honest. I literally didn't even understand it at first.
They would have been better off going with your Winston Churchill.
Yes, that would have been way better. That's right. Or him as the cast of Saved by the Bell.
That would have been better also. All right, how many oofs for Twinston?
Five
oofs.
That's as bad as
the leader in the clubhouse. And then finally,
can't even explain what he's even what he's doing. There is no crime.
Yeah. It feels like that maybe this was like a homework project that they thought of the night before.
Even like a generic sort of like level 6 comic would have made more sense than this. Something just that literally has anything to do with him whatsoever.
Right. Okay. And then finally, here we have the Rathlete, which is Angela. Again, poor Tony Vlachos is taking such a beating in the comics.
Really tough times.
In the BB cinematic universe, goes across all the different comics. Justice has no cheat days when you are the Rathlete.
I find it bizarre that she's throwing this weight. Why isn't she pole vaulting? Wouldn't that have made more sense?
I don't know if she told everybody that she was a pole vaulter. I think the problem is
they're protecting her identity.
Secret identity, right?
Yeah. I don't like this. So what we actually learned seeing them in succession is, in essence, they just basically like added a letter to like a word or rhymed something for all of these. They really, to say that this is like, I've never once thought of Angela in the Big Brother house and in the game and thought, oh man, that athlete. I understand that is a part of her background, but that was certainly not her story on the show. And even if it was, very boring. Very boring. Actually, this is befitting of Angela's time in the house. Boring.
What's wrong with Angela and her comic?
Yeah.
Okay.
I wonder if they will get to the bottom of that at the finale.
No, I don't think so. Okay. There you go. How many oofs?
Four. Yeah. It's not sitting well.
Four oofs or one loofah, I think. That's for Angela. Okay. The loofah would have been a lot better.
Yes, I agree. Although that would have been perplexing.
But none.
Wait a minute. We're sitting on this. She never smelled herself. And although we know her to know to smell like a baby, but, you know, if she is a loofah, one would surmise that she probably is the best smelling Big Brother alum.
Yes, I think that inside of a loofah
of cleanliness.
Yeah, that's the only place that you can hide and keep everything smelling nice. Okay, Eric. Then let me see. You want to do some voicemails?
Let's do it.
Okay. All right.
Let's go.
All right. This is last time before the finale. Let's see if we have some questions. Okay. This is an interesting question. This is from one of our listeners. Monkey Jones has a question for you, Eric. Okay. Let's see if you can hear this from Monkey Jones.
Hey, Rob and Eric. This is Monkey Jones here. My question to you guys is, can you paint me a picture of what the season would look like if the boot order was reversed? How do Summer of Steve and Swaggy C claw and fight their way to the final two? And what does Summer of Steve say in his final speech to win the season? Thanks, love the podcast.
Okay, Eric, I always think this is fun. If the boot order was reversed, can you tell the story of the Swaggy C and Summer of Steve 2018 final two?
I think it's actually
with
very
Winston in the final three.
Yeah, I think that Fauté dominates the entire game.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're also you have Caitlin in the final four then as well, and they basically go coast to coast, just dominating the strategy. Except the fly in their ointment is Winston, who they just cannot get rid of, the leader of the other side, and the fans are telling us that this is a great back and forth season because both Winston and Rachel are battling out right to the very end. So both alliances are advancing.
America's favorite player for Twinston
members. I would say absolutely. Yeah. Because he's the underdog in this case. Then he is scratching and clawing his way with comp victories to the end. And what do you feel like Winston's? I honestly, I'm not even trying to be funny. I can't remember him speaking in the diary room. So if he had lasted to the final three,
he had a coffee cup a lot. He was just like
Sona would have gone wrong.
Yeah, I think he would have been a beloved underdog of the season. I think Swaggy C is the villain of the season. That he's sort of like controlling too much. He bitter jury ends up costing Swaggy C. Swaggy C gets his phone, takes to Twitter, just rips the jury a new one.
And how does Casey's out first because she can't ever, they leave her stranded with her thing spinning in a room and everyone just disregards her. So she's just a nothing. And there's, we can get rid of that girl who's been in the bathroom for the last few days.
She never got going, unfortunately, for Casey. And
or Tyler's out first, following in the steps of the great David Gurdon and Braden Baca.
Yes.
For curse. Oh, wait, excuse me. He's not a surfer. He's a lifeguard.
He's a lifeguard. Easy. Watch it, Eric. Sorry.
Another one of my blunders from earlier in the summer.
Yeah, another thing you got wrong this year. Okay, let's see. How about, I feel like I had another interesting question for you. Okay, this is one from Matt from Jersey had this question for us. Okay. Here's Matt from Jersey.
Rob and Eric, if CBS called you and said, hey, Rob, Eric, we need you to host the new season of Big Brother, would you do it? Would you be the next Chenbot? And if you did, how would you do it? Very important. Very important.
Now, when we say how,
yeah, well, I think that me and you could do it like Seacrest and Dunkelman in their prime.
Yeah, I think my life trajectory is very similar to a prime Dunkelman.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think that it would be good to have some banter where, you know, they feel like, okay, well, Julie was maybe too robotic, where maybe we open the show and it's like, hey, everybody, welcome to Big Brother Eric. It's eviction night. Exciting stuff, right?
I could land on a world in which you are somewhere around 217th on their short list of potential hosts.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine myself as being so far down the list that at that point, it's well past the point of cancellation.
Yeah.
You are still on the list of people that they could move forward with the show off.
I don't know.
Well, I
think 217 is a favorable spot, I think, for in terms of where the actual plan would be. But, Eric, that should Julie Chen not be the host of Big Brother going forward, what do you think would be the more likely scenario? Would it be as simple as a plug and play just here's Ross Matthews? Would it be potentially an alumni? Would it be somebody who is completely unrelated to Big Brother, like a Drew Carey situation?
I think it's got to be Ross and Marissa. I think that
Ross and Marissa. So they're bringing in the banter idea.
Yes, I think Ross. I think that they are far and away the favorites. I think it's more of a fan wish to consider Arissa. I think I couldn't even imagine how putrid of a job Jeff would do, or something along those lines.
Now, Eric, and you're tapped into this stuff. Have you been feeling like there are any of the Big Brother alumni sniffing around, vulturing for potentially what they could perceive as a job opening over in Studio City?
I'm not saying that someone who invited the legends of Big Brother onto their Instagram Live might have been trying to showcase their hosting skills.
Interesting.
But if I were to be trying to showcase my hosting skills, it would be interesting timing for that.
To sort of come out of the woodwork and talk about Big Brother all of a sudden.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I love Dr. Will. He is my personal all-time favorite Big Brother player. I think he would do a terrible job. I think that people would find that he is out of touch with modern Big Brother. I do not think it would connect with today's show or audience or the.
Well, I think that, nobody loves Will Kirby more than me. I think that he would not stick. Like, I think people get on, oh, Julie Chen is so robotic. But I think that the host of the show needs to stick to the prompter for the most part and be able to, sort of like hit their mark and then set up the next piece.
I did see an interesting name throwing his mix hat into the mix, and that was a suggestion of going from Asian to Asian. James Huling said that he thinks that perhaps America's favorite prankster should take over the hijinks of the Big Brother house. How do you like that suggestion?
That would be the greatest prank.
That
would be an incredible prank that they could play on the fans.
Prank of all.
The biggest prank of all. Get James Huling there. Okay. Interesting. Do you think that Julie Chen is going to be done hosting Big Brother after Wednesday night?
I don't. I think that she will be back.
I think she'll be back.
The host of the show. She is an institution. And I think it's hard with these formats. I think they go with their hosts. I really do feel that way. And I know that American Idol, for example, did not go with the judges, but Seacrest was still there as well. And I think when you have something that is so familiar to the fan base, or like we said, the 2.5 man scenario, you might get one season, but it's one and done.
The Price is Right is over 10 years with Drew Carey.
Well, I agree. I think that it's a little bit of a different situation because The Price is Right wasn't like basically, let's look at it this way. Like Amazing Race, it's just about ready to go anyway, right? So like they actually did this for The Biggest Loser, for example. Allison Sweeney left. Well, first it was Caroline Ray, but then Allison Sweeney was the host for like 20-something seasons. And then they just dispensed her and Bob Harper just did it the last season. And then the show was canceled. Because once you're at that point, you're cutting back budget. Now I'm too inside shop here. But the fact of the matter is, if Julie goes, the show's in big trouble. So the fan base should not be hoping for this shakeup. They should want Julie there because people like the package as they know the package. Yeah.
I do suspect, though, that I just have a sneaking suspicion that this might be it for Julie Chen. She may want to stay, but I do think that maybe, that there could be some sort of a clean break coming in these next couple of months.
And do you have any other suspects you'd like to toss into the mix as potential hosts in that scenario?
No, I feel like that Ross Matthews, they probably already have a level of comfort with him. I don't know if you need Ross and Marissa. I think that they're together. They're too wacky. I feel like that Ross on his own can be serious, like when he interviewed Omarosa. And he was like, Omarosa, tell me, are we going to be okay? Like I think
Mark
he
McGrath
can.
McGrath was a host.
Mark McGrath, but I think he's too wacky. I think that Ross can be fun. I think he could also do the gravitas required. He could have a joking moment in an interview. So I think it would be fine under his stewardship. But I could also see them going with like a Mario Lopez or somebody who
If it was going to be an alum, who do you think the best bet is? I'm inclined to say Rachel would actually be the best bet. Jeff is, feels like a strong bet, and probably Will is going to come to other people's minds right away. But I'm going to actually, I'm going to plant my flag with Rachel as the leading alum candidate.
Yeah, I mean, I think that she would do a good job with it. I'd have to really go through and think about who I would endorse for
Rachel Swindler. That is
Rachel Swindler. Yeah, the dinosaur. So. Yeah,
as a dinosaur.
We'll see. You know, it's not a lot of people like come into the house with sort of hosting chops.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I really do not think that there's a lot of super strong options, which is why I think it would default to the most obvious options. But here's one for you. How do you like the chances of Tay Zonde being on Celebrity Big Brother 2?
Holy moly! That would be great. But Eric, I think that Celebrity Big Brother 2 could also be in jeopardy.
You're casting a really dark shadow on the final day of summer here.
I just wonder if there's too much turmoil. If Big Brother was going to come back with a new host for Big Brother 21, I feel like that there would be more of a rollout involved with that. That would be part of the push to Big Brother 21. It would feel weird to have a roll unless that they just felt like, okay, Ross Matthews is here as interim host potentially, but you know that they made a big deal with Big Brother OTT. It's not Big Brother if there's no Julie. So I think that they'd be in
Project
sort of
Runway
a tough spot.
And Top Chef, some of their offshoot seasons do have different hosts and judges, so they could try to get away with the fact that they're presenting it right as an adjacent sort of thing. Oh, we're having last year's winners here. Isn't that fun? And something along those lines. So if anything, I think it would be easier to pass off Celebrity Big Brother as, a makeshift event of sorts.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do not think what you're saying is far-fetched. And I suppose I hope that this is not.
I just think it's premature. And I don't know anything, but, you know, like in this crazy world that we live in, you know, you can refresh your Twitter and the world has changed. So you don't know all of the news stories in between now and then. And then, you know, things may be in a situation where it is, it doesn't work for either side to return to the show.
If we're truly analyzing this, though, that is about 15 days of programming in the middle of the summer and 45 days of program. I mean, in the middle of the winter and 45 days of programming in the summer, it's hard to replace. So unless they have something in development that can take spot, I don't think rerunning episodes of the 17th season of NCIS is going to do the trick. So, I do think that Big Brother is a huge part of CBS's schedule. So it would create a big void for them.
I see some people in the chat asking for Elena from season 19 as the host of Big Brother.
What do you think she smells like?
probably like Mark, I guess.
Yeah.
Whatever Mark smells like. All right, Eric. And then one final thought, just to tie all this together. Do you think, I guess in this conspiracy theory world that we live in, could it be a coincidence that Omarosa comes out of the woodwork to show up on one of these shows when there is a lot of speculation about Julie Chen's job?
Well, wasn't it the rumor that she was promised some sort of pilot first development look deal with CBS when she signed on for this? And I will say this. I know factually that some of the big producers at Big Brother are they're quite political. So maybe they're going to take it in a different direction. Maybe that's going to be the theme of Celebrity Big Brother 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that they are trying to do that with Celebrity Big Brother UK. And I don't know exactly how that went. All right, Eric, my dude, you have been awesome at Eric Unlimited. What else?
There is one last candidate I'd like to pitch for the possible hosting gig.
Who is it?
Baby Dino the dog.
Ooh, no, I think it's a BB Rexa.
Oh, they could do it. They could be a comedy duo as well. Yeah.
I mean, is you think that that's why Big Jeff is floating around the Big Brother house this weekend?
Yeah, but I would imagine that you need someone who could actually read the teleprompter.
I mean, I don't think we have any evidence that Big Jeff can't read the teleprompter.
I'm not suggesting that he's illiterate. I'm just suggesting that he's not known for his flowing delivery of questions.
Yeah, that is true. But I think it's, it's not the trickiest job in the world to set that up. I think the hardest part is doing the interviews on the fly. I think that is the hardest part of that job.
Actually, did the hosting like he does the interviews. I think that would be great. I think that could actually bring a lot of joy to the viewership.
Yeah. Or what is your relationship like with everybody else in the house? Would you trade it in? Would you like to get your ass beat by people from the different house?
Like they're already evicted and in the like post interview, he's like, single and ready to mingle, or they're like, we're out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not apply.
Although Julie kind of does the "Are you single and ready to mingle?" But the opposite, like, what do you think the future holds for you and your showmance? I mean, that's like the opposite version of the bizarro "Are you single and ready to mingle?"
I'm waiting for someone to finally just say, like, "It's not looking good, Julie."
Yeah.
Chances are, I'm going to hook up with someone completely different in like 3-4 days.
Yeah. I guess one other option for the hosting position at Big Brother.
Summer Steve 2018.
Perfect. We've come full circle.
Cavitate.
What if he hosts it from his bathtub?
That'd
be nice. Like a Masterpiece Theater.
Right.
He's got Tyler's robe on.
He's like this bubbles like, "Hey, everybody, welcome back to Big Brother. Here I am live from the bathtub outside the Big Brother house. This is Steve.
What if we do a CBS All Access hosting competition leading up to it?
Yes.
This could be amazing.
Yes, and me, we're not the hosts of we're not vying for the host of Big Brother. We're vying for the host of who wants to be the next host of Big Brother. Are we the Seacrest and Dunkelman of that show, or are we on the panel?
I would say we're everything. We're the judges. We're the hosts. And here's a name I'm going to throw into the mix that's going to surprise you. What about the great Whistlenut? Possible host.
I mean, if we're going to look at Whistlenut, I kind of feel like that maybe that there is somebody else that we should think about. Somebody who's really had a amazing star ride this summer. And that might be...
Stay crushing it.
I don't think he's not on the short list. Certainly ahead of us, that's for
maybe
sure.
Maybe it could be a dual Calafiore hosting job.
Oh yeah, or the return of
my brother Cody.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I think we finally. Or what about Jose?
Yeah, Jose, Davon. Like, I mean, the bots.
He's like the first power veto of the summer is called gag. Just like Once Upon a Tay told us he was pitching out as his upcoming TV show.
Look, I think that they can have a rotating panel for hosting the show. Every week you get somebody new coming in.
I think that would actually be the best case scenario, but actually.
Yeah. All right. Eric Stein. Anything else? I mean, this was a week. I think we covered everything. I mean, we had so much fun this summer. I'm sorry if we're sounding a little salty, but this was the analogy that I was thinking of. And we are, you know, my wife and I are back here at her childhood home. And we've been here for a week and a half. And there have been a number of people sending food over to the house, and everything is so delicious, and we've been enjoying all of the food. But Eric, that the 6 foot hero, as much as we've enjoyed it, we've taken from it, we're finding different ways to eat it. The bread is soggy now. It's very hard. We've been eating the same thing here for a couple of weeks, and you know, we're ready to move on from the 6 feet hero, 6 foot hero.
I think that's 100% right. It's been a very clammy summer for me. I've had a lot of ups and downs. I've made more enemies than I was expecting to make.
Who haven't we pissed off this summer?
Right, but you want to know what? I don't need to make anybody, not myself, not you, not the fan base, feel good about the season. Everyone can have their own opinion about the season. I am going to Barbados tomorrow morning. The only thing I want to let's go is to the airport. I couldn't care less about the final two episodes. And that is not a reflection on my bitterness. We are not, we don't hate the show. It's nothing like that. We very much enjoyed the summer, but you want to know what? 99 days was about 2 foot of sub sandwich too many.
Right.
You know, it's just like, right. You know, the honest truth of the matter is we probably just didn't even need to reconvene. We should have just quit like we speculated in the first few weeks, you know, and just that, then we wouldn't have had to take all this heat. For, you know, it's time.
Yeah.
It's time for David versus Goliath.
The producers really took the JC philosophy, and, you know, we were enjoying the season, and they just kept saying,
come on and get nice and fat, my sweeties.
Here's another week. We call this one Miami Cafecito. Okay, have this one. Here, here's more. Here's a recap. Here's a recap of the recap. So.
Anytime that there's, and listen, this does not take away from their gameplay. They played the game well, but for entertainment factor, anytime the writing is on the wall, it's a slow end. And it's different even than Survivor, because you have to do 3 episodes sometimes to get through what you know is a foregone conclusion. And I have made this point many times through the years. It's not incumbent upon the contestants to entertain us. I was there to win $500,000.
That's our job.
Right. That's right. They should be doing what they did. Congratulations to them. They controlled the season and it went well for them. But by the time the writing was on the brick wall behind you, it just got a little long in the tooth. That's what it really, really came down to. By the time we're battling back and redoing the week,
yeah.
It's just like, okay, we get it already. And that's not to discredit their game. That doesn't mean they had bad strategy. It doesn't mean they're bad people. They should still find love. This is all fine. But we get it.
Yeah.
It's enough already.
One last analogy. It's the TV equivalent of like, is this milk still good? I don't know. I don't have anything else. I guess we'll drink it. that's where we're at.
I mean, Rob, I'm going to give you one final chance to take back everything you've been saying the last 3 days and just tell everyone so they could be happy that you've reconsidered it. And Tangela, they're great. They're entertaining. And you wish them endless years of happiness.
I wish them endless years of happiness. I honestly do that. And if you love, I mean, look, some people that are coming at me, if your take was, Rob, listen, they're not that bad, I would say fine. But the people that are attacking me for talking about how boring Tangela are.
So dynamic.
I don't see a case where you can tell me that they're not super boring. If you want to say they're fine, okay, I guess I could, you know, we'll agree to disagree, but
you never claimed they were bad human beings.
No, but
they played the game poorly. They're boring. They're boring.
Right.
You're just reporting the facts.
If they were the leads of any other TV show, the show would be canceled.
I'd actually go as far as to say that you're not even stating an opinion.
This is provable facts
of the right.
So boring. All right.
I'm with you.
All right. Eric Stein, my dude. This has been such a treat to get to talk with you. Eric and I talked about this before we came on. Should there be some emergency that we need to reconvene for Big Brother 20, then we will get back together. But probably the next time you hear from Eric, we are going to get together early on in the season. I know you guys are worried about not hearing from Eric. We'll talk in the first couple of weeks of Survivor David versus Goliath. Eric Stein, a true Goliath.
The autumn of Stein, alive and well. And that's when I get people telling me that in spite of the fact that I've never missed a single episode of Survivor in my entire life, that because I was on Big Brother, I must have no idea what I'm talking about.
Well, look.
Survivor. I look forward to the feedback.
Yeah, I hear that. I heard that. All right. Thanks so much to the patrons of Robin the Podcast who've supported the show all season long. Of course, Eric Stein is on Twitter. He is at Eric Stein Tweets. What was the net result of doing the podcast this summer? Are you up or down in Twitter followers?
I believe since the right before the Big Brother season, I probably gained a solid 2,500 followers.
Oh, okay.
I'm scratching and clawing for these, like Winston to the final three.
Okay.
I had to really work to get these.
Eric, do we have a final hashtag for Summer of Stein?
Thank God it's over.
All right. And then, Eric, do we need to do next time on the Summer of Stein?
Yes, let's do it. One final for the road.
Okay. All right. Here we go. For the last time, closing out the Summer of Stein. Eric is trying to throw us off the scent. We all know that he's actually vying to be the new host of Big Brother and trying to get all the other alumni fat with his beef sauce. Nice try, Eric.
I don't know why we're even doing a next time on the Summer of Stein. I think if Rob's being honest with himself in this game, he knows I'm going to ignore 10-15 texts from him. I'm probably not coming back next summer. The chances of me returning for the Summer of Stein, they're probably about as good as Julie Chen Moonves returning to Big Brother.
What will happen next season on the Summer of Stein if there is a next season of Summer of Stein? Hashtag Fire Todd Bowles.